Okay, the next one are motions to obtain credit and incur debt. Of course, this is under Section 364(d)(1) of the Bankruptcy Code, which provides the court may, after notice and a hearing, authorize the obtaining of credit or incurring of debt that is secured by a senior or equal lien on property of the estate that is subject to a lien only if there are two conditions met, which oftentimes could be pretty difficult to meet. The trustee is unable to obtain credit or financing on any other basis, and then the existing lien holder is adequately protected. So D2 does provide that the trustee does bear the burden of proof as to the issue of adequate protection. And of course, it really depends on the facts of the particular case at hand. I think it's very common to prime an existing lien, or more common to see it when the property does have sufficient value to adequately protect both interests. But otherwise, does Judge Hale, do you have anything to add?
Well, I just wanted to ask, and Marvin, y'all are doing quite a bit of business cases here. I find it to be rare to do any priming, though. Do you do see that very often? Do you see it asked and given?
There are quite a few priming cases, but they're usually done by consent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember in any of the larger business cases doing a non-consensual priming. And I think the burden does not include adequate protection if the junior party consents. David, can you remember anywhere we've done it involuntarily?
No.
But we do a lot of them with the consent.
Yeah.
So what will often happen is you'll have a lien holder, the debtor needs new money. That same group of lien holders, or some subset of the bondholders, mm-hmm. will then advance the new money into a debtor in possession loan and prime sort of their existing loans.
Yeah.
And then you've got lots of permutations of that.
And that pops up when there's a strategy going on. The folks are seeing how the end is going to look a lot of times when they'll agree to some sort of priming.
I think that's right. And, you know, if you have a fairly large case, and if the debtor isn't going to be able to pay its bills during the case, really the junior lien holders are the ones that get killed in that, because if the case ever gets converted into a liquidating mode, then the first lien holders are going to get paid, and the junior lien holders, none often. So the first lien holders will advance new money. They'll prime the second lien holders with their new money, in effect. And the second lien holders will consent because they want to avoid the inability to pay the ongoing future debts. So but I've not seen it done on a non-consensual basis.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of this program, just on some of the things we look at on incurring new debts. You know, we see it most common in someone that's trying to buy another car. And it's funny, the three judges in the Northern District all have different philosophies. And I just hearing stories from the Southern District judges, I think y'all sort of approach these things differently. But we're, you know, the first thing on my mind is going to be whether the debtor's current. If the debtor's current, that's a very good sign. And then what sort of disruption getting another car is going to cause to the plan. Also concerned about why they're going to buy another car. Typically, it's someone that's had a wreck and they need a car to go to and from work. So that makes total sense to me. But those are the sorts of things we look at. I'll tell you, in the Northern District, we're actually worried a lot about the interest rate that these lenders are charging to debtors. And we try to send messages back to those sorts of lenders to bring the rate down some. We've had a modest amount of success. I don't want to pick on you totally, Marvin, but what do y'all do anything about, since these rates float higher than 20%, and sometimes that's the best that a debtor can do.
I know that what I am generally doing is, I believe that Chapter 13 trustees may authorize without court approval the incurrence of post-petition debt, and that I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think I can't remember more than one or two times where the trustee hasn't authorized it and someone has brought it to me, and I've never tried to beat up on the rates, and that may be a mistake on my part, but we should ask the other Southern District judges, because maybe they're seeing something differently.
Exactly the same,
Norman. Yeah. So I don't know if y'all heard that, but Judge Norman does the same. Judge Jones is playing some game on his computer.
I'm right in the middle of a classic battle of good versus evil.
I see it a lot on vehicles, and what I typically do is I do require that the debtor put on evidence that they've made their best effort to get the lowest interest rate possible. And, you know, you see these high rates, and sometimes the debtors will come in and say, well, this is the best rate I can get, and I'll ask the question, well, have you shopped around? And they'll say, maybe one or two creditors. And so if there's no really opposition from the trustee on it, nobody else is objecting, I'll approve it, but I'll instruct the debtor to go out there and shop around a little bit more. I'll sign an order to go around, shop around a little bit more and see if they can get a better rate. And if they can, then they can always, you know, get the better deal. But they already have an order from me.
Thank you. We've implemented sort of a general rule, I guess, that allows that avoids many of the hearings if the debtors meet a certain requirement. Yep. Did you have a comment, Steve?